Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Dr. Bo Bruce.
Today we hear about John the Baptist, who is in prison for what we just heard because he's been criticizing King Herod for divorcing his wife and unlawfully taking Herodias, the wife of his brother. The free speech at that time even to criticize or even lie about our leaders that we take for granted today was most certainly not in place in the Roman Empire. In fact, John was probably lucky at this point that all that happened to him was that he was put in prison. And anyway, while he was there, John's disciples visit him. And they are, as we know they should be, justifiably worried that their teacher and mentor, whom they follow, will not make it out of that prison. We know very little of what John told and taught his disciples, but we do know that he had quite his own following. After all, the Lord's Prayer, we say at nearly every public Christian gathering, and so frequently in our private prayers, was Jesus' response to his own disciples, asking Jesus to teach them to pray just as John had taught his disciples. So we have this very curious story about two of John's disciples coming to Jesus, saying that John, who's in prison, was asking, "Are you he that should come, or do we look for another?" Seriously? I mean, John, you leapt for joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit in the womb of your mother Elizabeth when Mary paid you a visit. You who proclaimed him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You who said that I baptize with water, but he will baptize of them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You who tried to forbid Jesus' baptism, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. You who saw the dove descend and heard the voice of the Father say, This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. How could you have any doubt at all about Jesus being the Christ? Do you expect an earthly king too? Did you expect everything to be solved when the Messiah came, as so many of Jesus' other disciples did? Yet, despite all that, maybe John really did have some doubts. Perhaps you can imagine that this story doesn't seem to be playing out the way one would imagine a soon-to-be-victorious battle to be playing out. Something seems amiss. You're sitting in a dank, dark cell, probably not being treated very well, all because you've only proclaimed the truth. Is this really the age to come? Has the way of the Lord been made straight? Has your mission of repentance amounted to anything? Here we are in the third week of Advent. Perhaps you've been trying to keep the fast the last few weeks. My family has, and I think we've done okay on the food part, although maybe I'm even naive there. But I do know I'm not so sure about the prayer and the almsgiving parts. It's a tough time of the year to find time alone. So many things going on, so much hubbub and energy, decorating to do, getting ready for the cold weather, cooking, going to holiday parties, buying presents, preparing for travels, wrapping up another year of work or school, sending Christmas cards, and then the almsgiving. It's hard to think about anyone but yourself sometimes, and selfishly I'm more concerned about what I'm getting than what I'm giving. And I'm not sure that I'm really fasting enough to tame my passions. There's still a lot of sin and darkness out there, and maybe like you, feel like I'm in a cell. Not because I'm doing things right like John the Baptist is, but because I'm trapped by the darkness of this world. So just like John may be asking himself, admittedly in a totally different way than I can even conceive of, I'm asking if my mission of repentance this Advent has really amounted to anything. Have I really transformed my mind, heart, and soul more into the image and likeness of God? Or have I just been doing some external stuff that has not really gotten me anywhere? Have I just immersed myself in all those things I just talked about that keep me far from God, who I wanted to find a way to put front and center in my life a few weeks ago when I started Advent? Well, if you happen to be feeling the same way, take heart, because there is hope. You may notice that today our colors have switched from purple to rose temporarily. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, known also by the first word of its Mass introit antiphon from Psalm 33, Gaudete, Rejoice. The psalm goes, Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, or the introit part of it does, Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for it becometh well to just be to be thankful. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing praises unto him with the lute and instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing praises lustily and with good courage. For the word of the Lord is true, and all his works are faithful. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Gaudete, rejoice, also echoes the first part of the epistle reading for next week from Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Yet how can we rejoice? How could John rejoice sitting in prison? We're just over halfway through our winter Lent. We still have a ways to go, and here we're disappointed in our half-hearted attempts to repent as blessed St. John, the forerunner, so urged us and his disciples to do. And even if you do feel like you've had a good Advent, I'm sure you still feel like you could do better. And that's why the church takes a pause this week. It reminds you that our fasting and prayer are not to be viewed as drudgery or sadness, or for not doing them well as failure or as hard work, but rather as rejoicing. Rejoicing in the coming of the Lord. The powers of darkness that seem to be shackles can only hold us back if we let them. Jesus has broken them asunder, and they have no power over us. The darkness that we see come so early in the afternoon and pass away so late in the morning will soon turn again to ever-increasing light in just a couple of weeks. Just as Christ, the light of the world, came in an hour of darkness and separation, not only for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. And he's still lighting our way. So if you have your doubts, or if you've not had the best of Advents, listen to the good news. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And just as Jesus said to the multitudes about John, let him say it to us. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what went out ye to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Just as John prepared the way of the Lord through his repentance, righteousness, and asceticism, let us likewise rejoice in those preparations, recognizing what they foretell. Let us rejoice like little children, anticipating waking up on Christmas morning for their toys. Instead, anticipating and rejoicing on the ever better gift that the Father gave us, his only begotten Son. So if John had his doubts, which I think is possible, although the fathers of the church seem to unanimously believe that this was merely a ruse for the benefit of getting his disciples to follow Christ rather than him, and we will hear next week how certain John really was of who he was. He nevertheless heard the good news, the gospel that Christ had come. No matter whether he had those doubts or not, when those disciples came back, he'd seen it for himself. And Jesus didn't just say, I am, as he has so many other times throughout history. He didn't just say, I'm the one you're looking for. When John's disciples asked him whether he was the Christ. Because in fact, as so many of you know, many have said they were the Messiah before Jesus. Many have claimed it after. No, instead, Jesus, instead of words, showed people, demonstrated that he was fulfilling the prophecies of the Messiah from the Old Testament. And for John's disciples and for John himself, this was the proof that the Lord had come. Even if he, like Jesus' own disciples, didn't understand that he was going to be the forerunner of our Lord, not only in proclaiming the kingdom of God, but in suffering and death. And we may not understand it fully, but Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. For now we are called to suffering and death in this world. We have a new kingdom calling us, yes, one of eternal value. And all we need to do is repent, turn towards our Lord, and rejoice because God is ready to meet us, no matter what is going on in our lives. That is the hope of the third Sunday of Advent. About where we have been so far this year in preparing the way of the Lord, let us not be saddened, no matter how well or how poorly we feel we have done. Instead, let us redouble our efforts, rejoicing. And anything we have done, no matter how small, to snuff out our overly zealous passions through fasting, to build a relationship with God through our prayers, and to stop thinking about ourselves for just 1 second and love someone else for a moment, and being almsgiving. Let us carry this spirit, the Advent spirit, not only until Christmas, but into the Christmas season and beyond, preparing the way for Christ to come into our hearts and those of everyone around us. And let us take heart and rejoice, for the word of the Lord is true, and all his works are indeed faithful. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.